But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And as we're standing, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray that only your word be spoken, only your word heard, and only your word lived. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, which if you've been part of church life for any length of time, you know that this is a season in the life of the church where we are on a journey to the manger. And over the next four Sundays, what's called Advent is a time of preparation, not only to remember that Jesus once time ago, he came in the manger, but also looking forward to his second coming. At least that's the Christian conviction. And if you think about it, whether you've been in the church for a long time, or maybe you're kind of on the outside looking in, it's really strange. What we believe and proclaim is that the eternal Creator, unbound by space and time, comes into the world 2,000 years ago, is born into a human family, grows up, lives, and dies on a cross. He's buried. And then 3 days later, he comes to life. He's resurrected. That's the claim. Further, people saw that resurrection, and from that miracle, now thousands of millions and billions have believed. And that dying and resurrecting, that coming of God, wasn't a one-time deal. The promise is that one day he'll come again. And his coming the first time began the healing of the world that is completed at the end of time. So that these two points, the beginning and the end, and Advent is a time in the middle where we take stock of what's happened, consider and prepare for the future. And the readings today were really about that, about time. From the ancient prophet Isaiah, who's prophesying and writing he's seeing his nation of over 700 years about to collapse. The walls of his kingdom are going to fall. And the ancient Babylonian empire is going to come down and destroy everything. He knows it's going to happen. He walks in the halls of power, and he knows. But as he sees the pending destruction, God shows him a vision that one day there'll be a new world, and all the wrongs will be set right. And Paul, writing to the Romans, says, in the light of that truth, take this time to be ready. Don't indulge in things that destroy your soul, but be ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, what is that coming? It's all wrapped up in apocalyptic imagery. It's all very ambiguous. Jesus, even when he talks about it, he says, the time is coming, even the Son, even I don't know what's going to happen. But we need to be ready. And there will come a time when people will say, hey, I'm the one, I'm the Messiah, I'm the one who's going to show you the way. And Jesus says, hey, don't listen to them. No matter what omens they show you, no matter what powers they have, don't be fooled. This is a very probing reading, the words of Jesus. Now for me personally, when I was very young, actually my daughter's age, she disappeared. All right. My parents, if you asked them, they'd say to you, they were born into a Roman Catholic family in Guatemala, and then they left the Roman Catholic Church and became real Christians by becoming Pentecostal. They're very convinced of that. Oh, those Catholics, they're not Christians, but now we're Christians. It's as much a religious decision as much a political, at least in Guatemala. And they were convinced, like many, I think, in that generation, of something called the rapture. Now, you may or not have heard of that. If you haven't heard of the rapture, it's a Christian, a very American Christian belief that one day God's going to show up in the heavens and all the true Christians are going to crawl and disappear and fly into the heavens, and only the people who don't know Jesus will remain on the earth for years of tribulation. That's conviction. And as much as I was shown Jesus when I was very little, that was part of the package. You know, Christian groups getting together, reading the Bible, trying to find certain imagery to decipher the codes in the Bible to get a handle of when this momentous coming of the Lord would be. And I think it still happens. Even today, it's happening. You maybe heard of the Left Behind books or even the Left Behind movies. That's what it's all about. I really do try not to invoke my other Christian sisters and brothers because I'm not here to use them like a pinata today. I treasure so much of how they love Jesus and proclaim him. But when I read this, Jesus saying that history is coming to a finite point. Human history, in fact, the history of the world is not endless. It comes to an end. And at that end, Jesus stands there. And it's up to us to be prepared for that, but not to know when that is. And so to move forward without fully knowing the end can only be an action of trust, right? More often than not, here I am driving to Calgary, and my seven-year-old daughter's behind. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Over and over. She doesn't know. And I get kind of pouty and I don't tell her. I just wait. I know when we're going to get there. And really, at some level, she has to trust me that I'm driving the car and we're going to get to where we're trying to get to. Fallible human as I am, I'm her dad. And I'm going to get us there. And here's God telling us where you're at now and the few victories and the many sorrows of your life and the tragic drama that is a human history. We're going to get there. That place where all wrongs are made right. That place where the healing of your heart and the healing of the world will take place. We're going to get there. You can't get there, but I stand there. And if you trust me and you follow me, you will see and experience my life and my love. So prepare. Prepare. Now, what does that mean, to prepare? What's fun about the Advent season is not a season of answers, really. We have to wait for that until Christmas. But I can give you some clues, I suppose. Every culture that confronts Jesus has a different part of their hearts that becomes rattled, and they're not the same. So when, for example, Jesus comes to a Guatemalan culture, which would be, by our standards, very traditional, very patriarchal. Easily. It's not self-reflective. It's just the way things are. Jesus would come into that space and say, you've misunderstood the arrangements of genders the way that I made them. And you have a mislabeled hierarchy here. And it's a change. That's Guatemala. We're not there right now. Here we are in Canada. One of the major things that Jesus does when he comes into our space, it might not be that, but maybe, it'd be something like this. You seem to believe you're very competent and therefore in control of your life. But every time you suffer, you're shocked into realizing that you're not the quarterback. You're not in control. You have to find out who is. If anything good came out of COVID, is that how fragile we are, how lack of power we have to influence the realities that surround us, suffering, disease, death. In the light of that human fragility, and the fact that we are born and inevitably die, what do we do with that time that's been given to us when God says, prepare? The ancient, the medieval take on Advent had four themes. So we have our four themes. Today is hope, right? Next week will be peace, then joy, and then love. These are the four Sundays. But the ancient had a different four Sundays. They had death, judgment, hell, heaven. And come together, those were the last things. In other words, we're hurtling through space at an incredible speed. And our lives are hurtling forward. We can never go backwards. I can never go to yesterday. I look at my little 14-month-old boy, and I have my little Instagram page when he was 9 months, and he's so chubby and cute. I'm like, can I go back to that? And I can't. My little girl is 7 now, but I want to hold her hand when she was 4, going off to JK. I can't go back. And every day is forward. An uncertain end. But the end is coming. A human life, Jesus is saying, trust me. You think you hold the control of your life, and you actually don't. There's so much around you that you cannot control. Be really effective, right? Go to school, get the right job, the right career. One wrong whisper, word about you, your reputation destroyed, you can't take that back. You have incredible cognitive ability. You're sought after for your insights in the thought, you know, your mind, your ideas. You get hired at prestigious places, but one fall, you hit your head, and that's not yours anymore. Fragile. No control. It's not, I hope I'm not being heavy-handed today. If you can't hear the truth here, then I'm not sure what the point. No, my friends, we're not in control. We're called as created beings to seek to the one who is. As we learned last week, it's Jesus the King. But Jesus isn't the king like Caesar or other kings that we know in this world. Jesus is the gentle king who doesn't take your life. He gives his life so that you can have his peace, his joy, his love. That's what Jesus said. Don't be fooled by those people who say they're the Messiah, for they have the answer with their omens and their powers. And we have plenty of them. From people coming out there saying, hey, I have the right ideology. I have the right policy. Trust me. Look at this program that I have. This is what's going to fix the world. Look at this ideology. It doesn't feel good to be so morally right on the right side of history. Oh, it's great. Or do this policy. Oh, we make a lot of money. We're productive. We conserve our values. Isn't this great? As if these are the solutions in the world. And Jesus is saying, don't be fooled by those. None of those can save you from death. I don't care how progressive you are, I don't care how conservative you are, none of that gives you life. Just some other moment. I'm not saying politics don't matter, but it operates here. Jesus is operating down here. The foundational level. What is your life about? Who are you really? Jesus says, you're a human being made in my image, who I love with an infinite love. And I'm inviting you to open your eyes and awaken to that truth so you can let go of the anxiety and the fear and the one-upmanship that we have in this world, always trying to better than the next person, because we're trying to prove who we are, projecting fragile identities and forcing other people to recognize us. And Jesus is saying, you need to let go of all. before you knew, before your mind awakened to your love, before you could say a word, you were affirmed and welcomed in me. If only you would wake up to that today, if you want to prepare your heart, you would have a better life. A life that doesn't end. A life which death is only a door to even greater life with God. And that life in the future that Isaiah was talking about would trickle into life today. That's how promises work. That's how good promises work. If someone told you today that in a year's time you're going to inherit $10 million, no matter what, how would that transform your today? You might have to get up and go to work, sure. You know, I still have to get up to the rigmarole with my kids, but I think I'd be able to jump in a second. I'd see bills coming in like, ha, that's great. Let it roll. Right? Real talk, I'd be okay. And that's just me. Oh God, that's just me. It's a thing, I'll meet up there. And Jesus is here saying, and came already. I lived the life and you should have lived. I died the death and you should have died. All you have to do is trust me. And everything that's mine is yours. And my things aren't things, money and bottles, property. Mine is life and love. I can give you the one thing that no one else can. And if they could, they wouldn't. But I have. So would you trust me? Death. We invoke it only to realize the gift of love, life that we have in Jesus. So the next 4 weeks, and I'm not sure where you are in your spiritual journey, and I'm not here to judge. It's more of an invitation. You might have been gone to church all your life. For all I know, this is the first time you've been to church. I don't know. But in the next 4 Sundays, the next 4 weeks, I invite you to take some time in your day, not even 5 minutes. Say, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. I don't know much about you, and some of the people that talk about you are really terrible, so I have a hard time with you. But I'm caught in space and time. I'm not sure what to do with the time that you've given me, or the time that I have. Can you show yourself to me? I prayed that prayer 16 years ago, and God showed up. Maybe not how I asked, but he showed up how I needed. I know that I'm all the better for it. I have no complex about sharing this with you today. I'm so glad I got the time to do it. The time that's been given to me. Talk to God. Get to know Jesus. We're here every Sunday. And sometimes in between. This is an important season. Don't dodge it, don't let it go to waste. You're all spiritual beings. Don't stifle that. Give it to God. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that in the midst of our loneliness, in the midst of our fear, you have not ignored us, but you've come to us in the person of Jesus to tell us, to proclaim to us that we're not alone, that we're never alone. God, I ask that you help us to wake up to this truth, to wake up to your love, to wake up to your life. Don't let us waste this time. Let it be used to our good and to your greater glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.